Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville. Please stand as we start our worship service this morning. Ushers may come forward as we lift the offering this morning. The offering is for the Leadership Training Fund and the Men and Women's Ministry. And children can come forward for my coins count.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. Sin that held Him.
God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house this morning and worship you. God, we pray that these tithes and offerings would go to build up leaders and also build further relations with the men and women ministries. And God, we just pray that this morning, along with our money, that we would offer our hearts and our praise to you this morning. In your name, amen.
Oh, the every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, but I confess my hands are weary and I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, I'm by your side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust in you. Truth is, who knows what tomorrow brings? There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you are.
The opportunity to come here and fellowship together in your presence. Pray for the Brian and the youth as we share about what it's like to be in Tennessee and the things that God was doing down there. And pray that the service from down there and the impact it had on us would continue to flow out of us into the community here, as the way that we were refreshed through relaxing week. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.
Good morning. We're going to do things a little bit out of order because we're having some technical difficulties with the projection. So I'll do my president's report, and hopefully we can get the slideshow working. So I'm Lauren Haller, the youth group president, if you don't know that by now. I'm honored to have been the president the last 2 years and on the committee the last 5 years, but it's my pleasure now to introduce a new committee to you. So committee members, you can stand up and wave when I say your name. Doug Becker will be the president. Carson Wanner will be the vice president. Nicole Ringler will be treasurer. Sierra Brubacher will be worship leader. And Carly Ringler will be secretary. And Jan Martin will be historian. And Brian and Renee are still the youth pastor couple. Advisors are Ken and Ann Becker, John and Dana Martin, and Josh and Cassie Martin, or Horst, sorry. Josh and Cassie Horst will be joining us this year, and Shane and Amanda are the Youth Commission coordinators. On June 2nd, we went to Sky Zone, an indoor trampoline park, and afterwards we went to McDonald's. On the 9th, we had our grad party to celebrate our high school graduates, Carly Ringler, John Nall, and Kyle Martin. Thanks to Ed and Darlene Ringler for hosting us and hanging out with us. On the 19th, we had a campfire at Kirvin and Mary Ringler's house. Thank you for having us. July 14th through 20th, we had our summer service project in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We had so many cool experiences, which we'll be sharing about in a bit. Thank you to those of you who agreed to be prayer partners for the week, and thanks to everyone who was praying for us and supporting us financially. So that's what the youth group has been up to since the beginning of June. Since this is my final report and my term is coming to an end, I just wanted to take some time to say thank you to you all for your support and encouragement during my time as president and all my years in youth group. As a ninth grader entering the youth group, I would have never imagined I'd be standing up here talking to you. I'm a completely different person than I was going into youth group, and that's thanks to you and thanks to this group. So I'm going to read some lyrics from a song called Greater Things by the band Ashes Remain. It's the little things that matter so much more than we know. Like a simple conversation gives our heart just a little hope. Every time we offer mercy, every time that we show grace, when we give love to the undeserving, like the one who took our place, one spark can start a fire, one drop begins a flood. As small as they may seem, these are the greater things. I've been encouraged by simple conversations and other seemingly small things that you've done for me and for this group, and I encourage you to continue interacting with these youth. Your words and simple acts of kindness go farther than you know. Thank you.
Good morning. There were several pictures there where it looked like Lauren was trying to get up a ladder. I wasn't with her group, but at least not all the time. But I think she tried and failed several times, the way I understand, to get up that ladder. But she didn't give up. She kept going, and that's why I was so triumphant to see her sitting there on the roof holding on to Shane. So before we get started here with the sharing time about Tennessee and the message, just wanted to make a few announcements. Last night at a little after 9 o'clock in the evening, Maggie High died, and she was living at Fairmount. So I'd just like to take a minute now and pray for her. God, we just thank you for Maggie and her life here on earth. And it's just a reminder to us, Lord, that when we die, it's not over. And as we learned in Sunday school this morning, that you make a way for us, and that when we trust in Jesus, that we can have life with you for eternity. I just pray for Maggie's family as they mourn her death. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, in the way of announcements, we will be having our new youth party in August, and the date is August 25th, and it's a little different this year. If you are entering 7th grade, 8th grade, or 9th grade, you are invited to the new youth party as a new youth. So, it's Sunday, August 25th, in the afternoon and evening. We talked about a spot, but I'm not sure we nailed that spot down yet. We're not sure yet. So it's still a little ways off, so you can stay tuned and there'll be some more information about that. But you can set the day aside anyway. Sunday, August 25th in the afternoon and evening. So I encourage anybody entering 7th, 8th, or 9th grade or if you're in the youth group, you can also come to that, just not as a new youth. So, anyway, one more announcement. Today, after church, we're going to have our games with seniors. So how do you determine if you're a senior? I thought of a few things. If Chase the Rat is your favorite game, you would be welcome to come down and play with us in the basement. If you've ever had to wait for your neighbor to get off the phone so you can make a phone call, that would also be an indicator that you're welcome to come down and play with us in the basement. So there's no hard line age or anything. If you want to come down and play as a senior with some of the youth group, with games, you're welcome to come down. And we're not going to do that like a regular fellowship meal. We're going to wait till about 15 minutes or so after church is done. That way they have a little more time to prepare the meal. And also, we're not expecting quite as many people as a normal fellowship meal. So the meal will be served about 15 minutes after church is over here. Okay, I think that's all the announcements I had. So I guess this is Youth Sunday, like you know, and we're going to be sharing about our trip to Tennessee. So since I'm the youth pastor, I'll share first a little story. Okay, so when we first got there, we arrived at a place called TKA, the King's Academy. Okay, and what it is it's a high school, but it's a boarding school. So they had dorms there for the students to live in. Now, they had some students that just drove from the local areas, but a lot of their students boarded there. And since it was summer vacation, the dorms were empty. So Team Effort, the group that we went with, utilizes that dorm for their youth groups to stay in and go out to the neighboring community and work. So that's where we were staying, at the King's Academy. So they have this, since it's a high school, they have an auditorium that's probably a little bit bigger than what it is in here, I'd say. But it wasn't benches, it was like regular, you know, seats that fold up like a regular auditorium. And there may have been maybe 150-ish youth and leaders in this auditorium for chapel. Every evening at 8 o'clock, we'd meet for chapel. But it was a little bit different than what we're used to. As we were going into the auditorium, the staff from Team Effort was there high-fiving us, and there was pretty loud music playing, and they were kind of dancing and this and that, trying to get us all fired up for chapel. And so we made it through the high-five gauntlet, and we went and sat down in our chairs. And then they did this thing where they played a song for about 30 seconds, and they were up on the stage kind of dancing to that song. And then that song faded out, another song started, and maybe 30 seconds of that song, and they were dancing to that song. So they went through several songs like this. And I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to what songs they were, but it must have been a song that came on that had some kind of dancing theme to it, or I don't know, maybe it was dance music, I don't know. But I was sitting on the end of the aisle, and next thing I know, Noah, one of the staff from Team Effort, is tapping me on the shoulder, and he's inviting me up front in front of everyone to come up and dance with him. And I didn't want to be a wet blanket, of course, you know. So I started walking up the aisle very slowly, thinking, what kind of clever move can I do? What kind of dance move? I'm not a dancer. I don't know what to do. So I got up front there, and I just kind of stood there. And all the other people that they picked out of the audience were dancing and having a good time, and I didn't know right what to do. And Noah looked at me, and he kind of had a sense of urgency in his eyes. He said, "Dance!" And I said, "I don't know. I don't dance. I don't know how to dance." And about that time, the 30 seconds was up, and the next song started, and I went back to my seat to sit down with the rest of the Mennonites very quickly. And I sat beside Renee, and Renee leaned over to say something to me. I leaned over, and she said, "That was terrible." And that was the first night we were there, the first night of chapel. So I thought, well, can only get better from here. So I was kind of embarrassed, not really, but a little bit embarrassed about that. So anyway, before we left for Tennessee early Sunday morning 2 weeks ago, we were standing out here to carport, and we all kind of gathered around in a circle like we usually do, and to pray and talk a little bit about the trip. And I reminded the youth of our mission statement for the youth group. We do have a mission statement for the youth group. And if you ever look, it's written on the mission ambition, which is the schedule that the youth group has. I think there's one hanging downstairs in the bulletin board, like down in that corner of the basement, down here. The mission statement is this: nurturing tomorrow's church through fellowship with each other, serving others, and studying God's word. So I asked the youth to think about those three things, the way we nurture tomorrow's church: serving others, fellowshipping with each other, serving others, and studying God's word. And I said, as you go out and do your work, do what you're going to be doing in Tennessee this week, I want you to think about whether you're fellowshipping with each other, serving others, or studying God's word. And when you come back and have the opportunity to share about something that fits into one of those three categories. So I got some response from most of the youth group, and they're prepared to share about one of those three things. So, but before I call those up to do that, it says, the mission statement says, we're nurturing tomorrow's church, and it's through fellowship, serving with others, and studying God's word. So I want to read from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And I think this kind of gives a good picture of what it means to nurture tomorrow's church. So that's Acts 2, 42 to 47. Okay, starting Acts 2, verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the people met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, their possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And this is an important part, the last part of verse 47. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So that's what nurture looks like to me. Nurturing each other, encouraging each other, and allowing the Lord to use us to add to his church each day. So when the church takes time to nurture each other, we see what happens there in verse 47. So nurturing each other with the youth group looks a little different than what we just read there. So what does it look like at Bowmansville here for the youth? Well, like I said, we fellowship together. Our nurture involves fellowship together, service to others, and studying the Bible. So now I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. This says a little bit about fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So let us not neglect meeting together. That sounds a little bit like fellowship to me. So some of the youth are prepared to share about some experiences they had of being nurtured through fellowship on the service project. So I believe this microphone here is going to be on. Is that right? So those that are prepared to share about fellowship can come up now and share about fellowship with each other.
Okay, so on Wednesday night after chapel, we had a time of like where our group would just talk together, and we talked, like our whole youth group sat together and we talked about like things we appreciate about each other. And that was just really cool how like we all could talk together and acknowledge things we like about other people. And then after that, we split into smaller groups and prayed together. And that was just nice to like share our struggles and then be able to lift them up to God together. And yeah.
All right, so I had an awesome time. And one of the biggest things I noticed was like how we can all work as a team and like just like we got a bunch done, and it was super fun. And one of my favorite things was there was a coffee shop, and Dwight and Carson had walked there one morning. So Renee and a bunch of us girls wanted to go out and get coffee one evening. And so we're driving out, and we get to this place, and it's closed, and there's like it's like fenced off. So Renee goes to back the van up, and all of a sudden we're down in a ditch. And it was just like, that was like one of the times like we all worked together to get it out, and it was just super fun. And working with Shane on his job site was awesome, and thank you for smashing your finger for me to get the trailer open. So yeah.
I had a lot of fun Thursday night after chapel. We all prayed and we sang songs and worshiped to God.
My thoughts are sort of related to fellowship, but I'm sharing so that I can go down to the kitchen soon. in 1 Kings 19, Elijah was talking about feeling all alone and saying how he feels like he's the only one left to serve God. And God responded and told him that I've reserved 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. So we often hear about the decline of the church, but at this service project, there was a very diverse group of youth and their leaders, and also the staff from Team Effort. People came from different states and a wide variety of church backgrounds. Some youth groups were really large, and others were just like a couple people. And our staff leader was actually only 18 years old, and I met a youth leader who was 70 years old. She did mention this might be her last service project, but in spite of this diversity and the varying levels of commitment, we shared the common bond of belief in Jesus Christ. We knew the same songs, coming from really varied backgrounds. We knew the same songs, and each evening we came together to sing and worship God. The staff each night would share stories of how God had changed them, and each evening was related to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and they were giving examples of how they threw off their baggage and to be able to faithfully run the race of life in Christ. One of the leaders of another youth group came back and told how on their way home from the job site, they had witnessed an accident, and they had to stop and tell about what they witnessed. And while they were there, he was able to lead the driver of the car to faith in Christ. After the police had left and everything was cleared up, he witnessed to him, and the guy accepted Christ. So I could definitely feel a deep commitment to Christ and to God's kingdom through that week. And on the way home, we stopped at the Ark, and some people are cynical about that. They might view it as a commercialized Christian propaganda, but I saw and heard a message loud and clear. To those who will stop and listen, there is legitimate historical and scientific evidence that the Bible is true. God is who he says he is. He will do what he says he will do. And every person must choose how they're going to respond to that. And the Bible says that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing that. And about what Jan said, I'd just like to say It didn't take very long. Okay, so we backed into this ditch, and like within a few seconds, this 15-passenger van was unloading a bunch of teenage girls. So there was this guy that showed up like instantly to help push us out. I think you girls made his dreams come true. What did you nickname him? Noodle Arms? Okay, Noodle Arms came and his dreams were fulfilled when he saw a van load of teenage girls in distress. Anyway, yeah, so thanks for sharing about that. Okay, so next on the mission statement is after fellowship, the way we nurture is to fellowship. Next is service to others. Okay, so, oh, one more thing on fellowship. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hannah couldn't be here, Hannah Whitmer, and she asked me to share for her, so I'll read what she has here. She says, I really enjoyed worshiping with our group on Thursday night, singing and playing instruments. This fellowshipping made us grow close together. So that's what Hannah has to say. Thursday night, the chapel was kind of a message that opened up a time of response for the youth, and so we had some that would have given a response, and then we had a time within our group of worshiping together and singing, and that was meaningful to Hannah. Okay, so now, service to others. Okay, so an example I thought about that in the Bible was the first thing that came to mind. I'm not going to read out of the Bible, but how Jesus modeled what it means to be a servant leader to us when he washed his disciples' feet. He was obviously a leader that his disciples called him leader, and I think they called him rabbi, and he was their teacher. So he was obviously a leader, but he took it a step further and put himself into a servant leader position. So it's important for our youth to do service as they're being nurtured into tomorrow's church. So some of you are prepared to share about service. Those that are, you can come front, talk into the microphone.
Yeah, for those of you who might not know me, my name is Carson Warner. I've been doing things with the youth group for close to a year. But anyway, yeah, serving others, we obviously did a lot of, because it's a mission trip, did a lot of roofing and painting and things like that. I helped with some shingling the one day, so that was a lot of fun. That was something I never did before, but Colin and Ken helped me learn how to do that. And also, we had things... obviously assigned for us to do jobs, but there was other things within the group, people serving others. Like, I know some people brought us water when we were thirsty. I know Lauren and some of the other girls, when we were up on the roof, got us some water, so that was definitely appreciated.
So I really enjoyed working with our youth group in Tennessee this last week, and I learned a lot of new things about roofing and such, and had a lot of fun in the process. The one day, a lady that lived in the trailer park we were working at was telling us that she loves seeing team effort groups come, and she's always sad when they have to go. And it was just nice to talk to her and know that our work was noticed and appreciated. And even though I didn't always feel like I was being the biggest help, it was cool to see that we were making an impact on the community as a group.
On Wednesday afternoon, our group had finished most of the projects for the week, so we had several extra hands working on our final project, which was a shed, so we didn't need everyone that was there. A few of us were standing around not knowing what to do, and soon a little boy, whose name is Matthew, and his dad came outside with their dog, next to our job site. Matthew was walking around their trailer with his dog, and so I started talking to him and his dog, of course, because I love dogs. And he soon started playing with the football by himself. So Carly and I decided to go ask him if he wants some friends to play with, which he seemed pretty excited about. Shortly after that, another little boy, whose name is James, came over to play with us. And then soon Matthew had to leave, so it was just James and I. James introduced me to his older sister, Bella, and the three of us played all kinds of games that James was making up. After a bit, their mom's boyfriend, Max, came out, and we started playing soccer. And then before too long, the whole family was outside, and we had a game of soccer going with rocks as a goalpost. So I was able to play soccer for the rest of the afternoon with this family, and it just made me so happy. It was the highlight of my week, and seeing their happiness and everyone laughing just made my heart so happy. And it was a good reminder to me that serving others doesn't always have to look a certain way. It might be physical labor, and it might just simply be interacting with people that you have the opportunity to interact with. And also another thing, kind of like Carson said, there was a lot of service going on within the group. Brian mentioned earlier that I was struggling to get up on the roof. I really wanted to be on a roof by the end of the week because it's just not really the kind of thing that I do, and it looked like fun. And I would get up the ladder, and I'd talk myself out of it and go back down. And that happened, like, at least 5 times. And the whole time, Dwight and Shane and Jan and everyone that was there, they were just encouraging me and saying, you can do it, and also using a little bit of reverse psychology, telling me that I wasn't going to do it. And it worked. So eventually, I got on the roof thanks to Shane and Dwight and Jan. So thank you guys for serving me in that way.
Thank you, guys. So what does nurture look like? How do we nurture our youth? It's through fellowship with each other, serving others and each other, and lastly, studying the Bible. So when I think about the importance of studying the Bible, I think of Moses telling the Israelites how to remember God's commands. So I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commandments that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again with your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Sounds like maybe that could be some quizzing study techniques maybe for the future. I don't know. But anyway, that kind of gives a picture of how important it is to study the Bible. So the last way that we nurture tomorrow's church is through studying the Bible. So those that are prepared to share about studying the Bible can come front now.
Well, every morning down there at 7:15, I think it was, we'd be able to go pack our lunches and then after that have breakfast. And so I think it was at 6:45, for whoever wanted to, we'd just meet out. Ken would just pick out a couple chapters of the Bible and we'd just read through it and talk about what stuck out to us. So I have trouble sleeping in, and so that was always, I enjoyed going to that, and it's just, I always enjoy that with other people just reading, and you know, different stuff sticks out to different people, and it's just feels like it's always worthwhile.
So, some people talked about the chapel that we had every evening, and the verse for the week was Hebrews 12, actually two verses, it was 1 and 2, and that says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And what they focused on was, in the first verse, it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." And leaders down there all shared their testimony about how through their childhood or teenage years, things that they experienced that might create baggage for them, and not so much getting rid of baggage, but reducing the weight that is in it, because baggage is a result of the sinful world. It's just the way that we relieve the weight that that causes on our lives. And so each of the leaders had shared their testimony and the way that they were able to deal with that and how God helped them get to the place where they are in their lives today.
Yeah, so team effort, they all gave us a little devotional book that we used all week. So it had our sessions and also had some Devo times for us to do specifically just on our own. So the topics that they had was obviously, like Doug said, on baggage, but it had talks about relationships, and that was from the story of Joseph and his relationship with his siblings. Also had identity, and that was for the rich young ruler. We looked at that verse, and then they also had baggage from the different stuff in our lives, and they did it from the story of Naomi and Ruth, like which side that, which side are you going to be, Naomi, or are you going to be like a Ruth? And then they also had the last thing was about Jesus. It wasn't baggage from Jesus, but it was baggage. What do we do with that baggage? Did we hold on to it and, carry it ourselves and say we can do it ourselves, or do we give that baggage to Jesus, which led into what they had shared about that we had a time of, releasing this stuff that weighs us down, that we're able to give those things over to God that Thursday evening, which was a really good time and a special time for our group as well.
Yeah, studying God's word is something I like to do and help other people do. But when ultimately we all have a choice of what we're going to do with what we learned out of Scripture, I always think when Jesus was born, there was angels singing and there was a star, but really the Bible only records a few people and all that stir that actually went to see Jesus. And so the last day in dwelling in the Word, we read from 2 Peter. It says, "As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' To you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and the stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes men fall." And so as we study God's word, we have this choice to make. What do we do with Jesus? Is it going to be the capstone and the cornerstone, what holds our house together or our lives together? Or is it going to be what makes us fall and stumble, because it's always in our way? So it's just one thought from the week.
Thank you, guys. I noticed Ken and Shane really kind of utilizing their God-given gifts in leading us in studying the Bible. And I really appreciate that. When Jesse was called away to another area, God provided Shane and Ken, and they really have a lot more experience than I do in youth ministry, and thank you guys for using your gifts like that. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. So our mission statement is nurturing tomorrow's church through fellowshipping with each other, serving others, and studying God's word. So when we go on a service project like this, sometimes I think we get caught up on the whole service thing, and we say, how many roofs can we put on? How many gallons of paint can we paint? How many nails can we put in? And really, that's not what it's about. If you think about that too much, you tend to get one-track-minded and forget about studying God's word and fellowship with each other. We call it a service project, but it's really about nurturing tomorrow's church. Really, what a time like we spent in Tennessee, when in Tennessee does is it nurtures tomorrow's church. It's not really all about the service. And when we nurture tomorrow's church, we can see what it says in the end of Acts 2, at the end of verse 47. When we nurture tomorrow's church, we see this happened. And each day the Lord added to the fellowship those who were being saved. So let's pray. God, I thank you for the youth. I thank you for the leaders that came along and those that prayed for us, all willing to take a part in nurturing tomorrow's church. Lord, I just pray that through this time of nurturing, that your church will grow, that the church of Jesus will grow, and I pray that you use all the youth and people here that are willing to be nurtured along to grow your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you all stand as we sing a closing song?
Oh, your grace. watches over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your end.
Stay standing. So, somebody from the youth, does any of you know what the style of meal we're going to have? Is it going to, are you going to like walk through and get your food, or are they going to sit down and be served? Anybody know? Okay. Sounds like we're going to walk through and get your food, like, what do they call that? Like a buffet style, I guess. So, it might be appropriate to pray up here. So, I'll pray and then I'll give a parting blessing, and that'll be that. So let's pray. Lord, I just pray your blessing on us as we fellowship together in the basement from one generation to another. And I just pray that we can learn from each other and have a good time. And I just pray I thank you for the food. And I pray that when we eat it, it makes our bodies strong so we can glorify you. Amen. Okay, receive this blessing. As we leave this place, remember to nurture each other and encourage each other so that we're open to letting the Holy Spirit use us to grow His church. You're dismissed.